Alex Kane and Malachy O'Doherty, the commentators, with us this morning. Where are we at here, Alex? What's going on?
Well, it's difficult to know now, Stephen, because it becomes increasingly confused by the day. If you look back to last Thursday, if you look at the DUP's response then, it was a very nuanced, very measured response. There was no talk of kicking anyone out per se, or, you know, things unravelling. There was, we need to talk to other parties, we need to gather evidence. That position now seems to have moved. If you listen to the language of Dodds, even the nuance of Gregory there, if you listen to what Geoffrey Donaldson and all have been saying, it strikes me that this is a party which is now looking for an exit strategy. And your interview with Mike Nesbitt there was interesting, that whatever that started off with in terms of this being a principle, the Ulster Unionist Party were taking a principled stand. I think they now got themselves into a terribly confused position, and you nailed it. I mean, how do you define trust? At what stage do you get this trust? And if Nesbitt doesn't trust Sinn Féin on key issues, and if the Democratic Unionist Party believes that the IRA still exists and that Sinn Féin are in denial, I'm not even sure how you have a talks process coming out of any of this, because nobody, it's what I've said on this programme many, many times, they don't trust each other. It's that simple.
Malachy O'Doherty, I read your article in the Belfast Telegraph today. Do Unionist parties have a legitimate grievance against Sinn Féin, Malachy, in your view?
Well, they do, yes, of course they do. I mean, in the sense that they have a legitimate grievance against the Republican culture, which, I mean, Sinn Féin was organically wound up with the IRA. We don't know now what the state of that organism is or what the state of that relationship is. But they have also a responsibility for, I suppose, what you would say, colluding in the fudge. You know, it suited everybody along through all the way through the peace process. It suited everybody to accept formulae of forms of words, phrases that didn't really mean what they were claimed to mean. And there, you know, and these were, this language of this creative ambiguity was used throughout the whole thing. I can go back to 2002 in my memory, talking to a senior member of David Trimble's staff. The day after they had agreed at the Unionist Council to restore devolution over the deal with the monitoring of arms by Matasari and Ramaphosa. And on that day, there was a murder in Dunmurry, which was very clearly, which was being traced by many commentators back to the IRA. And I said, why isn't Trimble standing up over this? Why isn't he thumping the table over this? And the guy said, well, you know, it doesn't really suit, you know, at this time. I mean, in other words, the Unionist Party themselves, like the DUP, have colluded in the assumption that the Republicans were giving more than they really had given. But the clear thing now is decommissioning. Decommissioning is now exposed as a charade. And yet decommissioning was, you mean, we had 10 years nearly of complete deadlock in the peace process, more than 10 years, over the demand for decommissioning and the refusal of decommissioning.
Alex Kane, how do you see this playing out in terms of your standard line, whenever there's a storm and crisis, has been, it will survive, they will get through it. Do you reckon, Alex, this time's different?
This time is different, Stephen, because you're right. I mean, in the past few years, I've been fairly sanguine. I've talked about the dysfunctional nature. I've talked about the fact that Sinn Féin, the DUP, have a terrible relationship, that unionism, republicanism in general, it's not a good relationship. But there's always been enough there to sort of give me the confidence, if that's the right word, that somehow the glue will be found. This is different because on this occasion, and I think what is worth bearing in mind here, Stephen, the DUP did not expect the UUP to do this. This came as a shock. They were telling me, people, and when I was talking about it on Monday, tweeting about it on Monday, the UUP members were telling me, oh no, this is just Mike flagging it up, trying to make him sound tough, trying to up the ante a little bit, but when push comes to shove, he won't. That's what shocked them. They now have this horrible position for them. Look like they're stuck in an executive with Sinn Féin.
And do you think the DUP has hardened its stance, Alex, after the UUP made their move?
Yes, if you go back and listen to the conversations you had last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Stephen, with DUP members and so on. You listened to it more measured, more nuanced. They weren't saying this means collapse, this means we must get Sinn Féin, we must do this, we must do that. It's quite clear, as I said to you just before the news there, it's quite clear now when you listen to the language, Nigel Dodds, Geoffrey Donaldson, it won't be business as usual. They're still pushing ahead with this exclusion. Here's the reality, Stephen. The exclusion motion. There are only two or three ways it can be put through. It's not going to succeed. If the DUP push an exclusion motion, it means they still believe that Sinn Féin, or the IRA, is armed and active and Sinn Féin's connected to it. That motion will not be carried. It cannot be carried given the arithmetic in the Assembly. The Secretary of State and Prime Minister are not going to intervene to kick Sinn Féin out. Once that fails, for whatever reason, the DUP will be out because they cannot stay. It would be impossible, having said, oh, well, it's everybody else's fault, but we'll stay with Sinn Féin. As it stands at the moment, my call would be that within probably a couple of weeks, the executive... Well, there won't be DUP in the executive, so the executive can't function. You're then into, is it suspension, which requires legislation from Westminster, direct rule, which is a bit of a nightmare, or early election, which won't solve any problem, or just have a series of talks. And if nobody's trusting anyone, why the hell would they even bother talking to each other?
And what happens then, Maliki? What happens to Northern Ireland? Will the public care?
Well, there's a good question. I mean, the public will care because the public cares about... welfare, the public cares about cuts, the public cares about its public services and so on. I mean, we have another deadlock here which is happening in parallel with this, and it may be that one of the things that featured in the imagination of Mike Nesbitt when he decided to pull the plug was that the thing was coming down anyway, you know, over welfare reform. Now, I know Liam Clark in The Telegraph was sounding more optimistic than other commentators on whether or not a deal was emerging there. But certainly a lot of people would think that this is coming down anyway.
And this is the point, though, Maliki, isn't it? That if you think about it, you know, the politicians in this country, they get a very hard time from the public. They get challenged by people like me and my colleagues and others, journalists like yourselves. But I wonder, would we miss them? Because I'm serious, though, because you think of the policies that could come to Northern Ireland as a bit of a shockwave now, Alex and Maliki, that executive doesn't exist. So in other words, any mitigation to welfare reform, out the window. Yeah. Those people that want to object to gay marriage, out the window. Maybe the Tories would implement that too. Water rates, maybe they would bring extra water rates to Northern Ireland too.
I'm not sure they would. Sorry, Steve, I'm not sure they would do that because I think...
They
could, but I think it wouldn't happen immediately. I know there's an argument that if it was directly or suspension, I mean, I even hear some people on the union side say it would actually be quite good because the government could actually make all the difficult decisions and then we could blame them, particularly the DUP and things like gay marriage and moral issues. But the reality is, if the government has to take responsibility for Northern Ireland, it will bear in mind for at least a year that it needs to keep these parties or try and get these parties to a negotiating table. The last thing the government will do in a case like that is turn around and say to Sinn Féin, well, stuff it, we're doing the welfare stuff. The DUP, we're doing the equal marriage, because then that makes it very difficult for those parties. So I think what you would see is this leisurely, doddery, terribly slow process where they all sort of walk around each other. Because what you talked about here, Stephen, if this does go down, if we're talking about a belly-up situation at this point, why are you talking about a renegotiation of what the DUP and Sinn Féin
negotiated? Why don't you see, Alex, I'm thinking to myself, how do you get this back? You know, if the whole thing is, if what has really happened, and this is how I see it, is that the art of fudging has expired. You know,
never expires in Northern Ireland, Maliki. The parties, for a variety of reasons, I agree with you, it's how you get it back. The parties wanted, the government don't want responsibility for any of this. So somewhere along the line, and it may take a year or so, they will find it. There is no sense. I see no appetite. If you talk to people, you know, in London or even the NIO links here, nobody's saying, oh, yes, OK, well, we'll take over and run this for years.
The Irish don't want it either.
They will
from Martin McGuinness, and that's interesting. I mean, because there was a difference in the tone that Martin McGuinness was taking and the tone that Gerry Adams was taking. Adams is the one who leapt into the field to say the IRA has gone away and to use the old fudge language against it. McGuinness, when he tweeted on this, said nothing about the IRA. He just said, quite simply, this was criminals and they need to be brought to justice. So how big a difference is there between the positions that McGuinness and Adams are taking? And given that we know, I think, more than we know about any of the other politicians, we know that Martin McGuinness wants this to work. And given that he hasn't said anything in the past few days, what I wonder, is he on the phone to Robinson? I wonder, could he come up with something that would tweak this a bit differently and make a difference to the moves that the DUP are making?
What can he say? He can hardly come back and say, oh, sorry, they do exist. Sorry about that.
Well, maybe he can.
What can he do?
You know, maybe he can, or maybe he can say it's news to me, but I'll take the word of the chief constable on it. Because either you're going with a continuation of a relationship between the IRA and Sinn Féin, which will not do anybody any good, least of all the two parties themselves, or you're going for a clear divorce between the two. I mean, there was always going to be, at some stage, a make-your-mind-up time. You're either going to play the fudging so that until you know, and forever, and hope that it'll work for you and that nobody will do something like shoot somebody. But they have, so the fudging's expired. Therefore, it's make your mind up time, really, for Sinn Féin on whether they can make a clear break from the IRA and do that. Now, the other thing is, does the system want them to make that clear break from the IRA? Because if Sinn Féin did make a clear break from the IRA and it was agreed within the system that Sinn Féin is no longer answerable for what the IRA does, then you lift a restraint on the IRA as well. So there's problems both ways. And we are in a double bind. But I would have thought, you know, I mean, I think there have been nuances or there have been echoes of this through the past couple of years, that there was a difference between what McGuinness wanted and what Adams wanted. McGuinness was in there trying to get the welfare reformer thing established and agreed. And it was after the Ardèche and Adams's interference, apparently, that the thing was scuppered.
Sinn Féin would deny that entirely, wouldn't they?
Sorry?
Sinn Féin would deny that entirely.
Well,
that there was any
split. Would. Of course they would. You know, when this is Kremlinology. You know, we don't know. I don't have secret conversations with Martin McGuinness or Gerry Adams, so I don't know. I'm just doing that kind of reading of the runes and saying, you know, it is interesting to me that McGuinness responded differently to this.
Well, I think
Adams.
There may be a reason for that, Malik, and it's a really good point you make. But I think the Sinn Féin, when they talk about the All-Ireland thing, they are different up here. It's not going to matter in one sense. You know, if Sinn Féin are able to go, are forced into an early election, whatever happens, they will play. They will play the, you know, the poor us. No matter what we do, the unionists don't want to trust us. They don't want to govern with us. It's nothing to do whether the IRA exists or doesn't. Yeah. Because if it was proved that they did or didn't, unionists will still find another excuse. The Sinn Féin vote, I suspect, will hold in those circumstances up here. It's different down south. I think Adams would be disturbed by the evidence or suspected evidence of the shadow of the gunmen hanging over Sinn Féin, because that allows Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, the parties down south to say, well, hang on a minute. Hang on, guys. You know, it seems possible now that an organisation you were linked to, remain linked to, is parts of it are still armed and active. That will play entirely differently, Malachy, down south than it will
and
up here.
You're not going to worry. The language
last
that he's
point,
used,
Malachy.
The old fudge language of left the stage, whatever that means, or gone away, you know, doesn't mean a thing. That language is no use to them in this situation. It's it's not cutting any ice with Micheál Martin, for instance, you know.
Well, that's right. Down there it's not. But up here, I think it's a slightly different situation up here in terms of whether they exist or not. Because the Sinn Féin's vote, I think, will remain strong up here.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I also think that, I mean, in some ways, maybe they have a bigger game to play than we've noticed in the new council areas.
Okay.
There might be some people in there saying it hardly matters if the whole thing comes down.
Malachy, thank you very much indeed. Alex, thank you.